Hi, this is Jim from Safety Wars. Before we start the program, I want to make sure everyone understands that we often talk about OSHA and EPA citations, along with some other regulatory actions from other agencies, legal cases, and criminal activity. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty.
And from the border of liberty and prosperity in the Highlands and North, this is Safety Wars. Got on a little bit late today. Sorry about that, folks. We got some new equipment here. We're getting some bugs worked out and everything else. More to come later on. How's your weekend up here in the Northeast? We finally got to spring and then immediately the summer today. Extremely hot. You know how it is. It's New York and New Jersey. In April, anything could happen. Well, what do you mean, Jim? Weather-wise. So today we had a thunderstorm. And I was supposed to do play-by-play. Like Little League, so yeah, go play-by-play, you know? Need somebody. Home team. We ended up... Okay, we are on the air. So, we ended up having rain. So, of course, in the rain, what do I play? Purple Rain by Prince on the loudspeakers. Everybody got a big kick out of it. Then, some lightning hit. What do you think happened? Everything went down. Lost everything. Then, there was sleet. Then, there was rain. Then there was sleet again. Then there was thunder. Then there was a rainbow. That's New York. I love New York. Not so much anymore. Hey, did you hear? Our former governor is going to be going to Congress scheduled June 6th, 2024, to try to answer some questions on COVID. And I got the wrong date. Hey. I'm going to confuse people. Here. And to go and answer some questions, I have some questions I would love to ask him on the whole COVID thing, right? Because I still don't think people understand outside the industry what happens here and what specifically happened. So the government comes up with recommendations, right? We recommend X, Y, and Z. See, that was what the CDC said. Hey, Dr. Fauci even said himself, I didn't tell anybody what to do. I just made recommendations based on what we know. But when you say it so authoritatively, and you say it in front of a microphone and the TV cameras, and the you're up there. Now, on the dais, right, with a podium, and you're saying, hey, and you're saying this stuff, whatever your recommendations, you sound very authoritative. Then you put everybody else in the position, all the decision makers, you put in into their thing, right? Well, the CDC is recommending this. We better make damn sure we do it. And that goes for OSHA also, what we deal with here, primarily OSHA, Public Health Service, everything. Because then what's the thing? You get involved in litigation. Well, you weren't even following the CDC guidelines or their recommendations. And therefore, you're an evil person. Doesn't happen. A lot of the stories we tell here are from people, construction managers that I've worked with, and they have used this technique repeatedly. Well, there's no OSHA regulation, but there is an industry standard, and you're not following that industry standard, and shame on you. How many times have you heard that? I've heard it a lot. Especially back in the days, which leads us to the other thing, what I was thinking about today. And it's like, well, what do you mean, Jim? So yesterday was Workers' Memorial Day. We'll talk about that topic number three. So with Workers' Memorial Day, I always assess, can we be doing things better? Can we be doing things differently? What's the gig? And the answer is we could always improve. You can always improve what we're doing with things. And one of the things is you cannot have a commitment to safety unless management or a decision maker gives you that authority, gives you the backing, gives you the budget to go and have an improvement in safety. So how does this, maybe I'm not explaining it the best way. So let me explain it this way. Give me an example. For example, yes, Jim, we are committed to safety. But then you go and you find out that once you start working with that company, it doesn't matter whether you're a third party like me or a direct hire like I am sometimes, you eventually find out the way that they've, especially on the construction jobs, what's the business model? And what the business model often goes like this. We need to get the job. We need to maximize profits. So what we're going to do is we're not going to go and comply with certain OSHA regulations. Well, what regulations don't you want to comply with? I ask, and I'm up really upfront. So what do they say? Well, we're going to make all respirator use voluntary. And we're not going to give respirators out. Well, you know what? You need to have respirators, especially if you're doing, respirable crystalline silica work and the way that you're doing it. Now, you need some type of hierarchy controls, ventilation. Well, hey, we're not getting ventilation because it's not in the budget. We're not going to give out respirators because that's not in the budget. And if we do give out respirators, they're going to be N95 respirators. Okay, well, there are some situations you're allowed to use them. But we're not going to give fit testing. We're not going to give physicals. We're not going to do industrial hygiene monitoring. We're not going to do nothing. Because it's not in the budget. How about PPE? Let's talk about PPE. Next week is Fall Protection Week. We'll talk about that in a minute. So Fall Protection Week, another one, another perfect example here. I got to get a new cup here, right? Well, we're not going to worry about fall protection. We're not going to use it. That's not in our business model. Because we give them fall protection, we're going to have to go out and train them. We're going to have a designated person. We're going to have to do inspections. We don't have time for that. So we're not going to do that. We're going to, on top of that, we're going to allow them to bring their own equipment, the employees. Because we're not spending money on fall protection because that comes out of our bottom line. So they go out, they have the employees with suspect equipment, improper equipment, old equipment, don't inspect it, or anything else. Well, guess what? Now they feel that they saved the money. Well, want to talk about all the liabilities for the employees bringing their own fall protection equipment with them? How do you know where they got it from? How do they know that it's not stolen equipment? How do they know it's equipment that's been already used in a fall? They don't know what the history is. And it goes on and on and on the list. We'll talk about that next week for Fall Protection Week. All of this stuff goes into this. So do they have the budget for this? Did they allow the budget? Is their business model, we're just not going to obey any laws? I've worked with contractors. Sometimes when I'm working for a general contractor, their subcontractors do exactly this. Well, you know, the last job that we were on, nobody said X, Y, and Z. Where I've been doing this for 25 years, no one said X, Y, and Z, and they get in your face. Well, of course, no one said anything. I don't get into an argument or an altercation. It ain't worth it. How about this? I was working in a situation. I think I can talk about it now. It's been 32 years. Where somebody had a problem with the safety professional on site. So the safety professional, what do you think he did? You're going to love this one. Oh, yeah, you're going to love this one. The safety professional goes and says, okay, then we're just not going to do air monitoring properly in his own head. So the safety professional says, okay, F you. You're going to treat me like this? You're going to treat me like real badly, bully me and everything else? Oh, you know, then what happens? Hey, air is fine to breathe. Go on ahead. Air monitoring? Nobody does air monitoring. We're just going to put some paper. We're just going to write it down. The heck with it. And then what happens? That person goes on vacation, and you get somebody like me on site where I'm going to be pretty much, when it comes to air monitoring, industrial hygiene, I am pretty much, my people, very, very strict on it. We do the air monitoring. We treat it very strictly. We meet those action levels. We do the industrial hygiene audits. You name it, we do it. So my people go and we do all of this stuff. And what do you think happens? I come up with different results than this person that went on vacation. Well, it turns out that to get back at everybody, he overexposed them to many, many different chemicals. Talk about the ultimate revenge. Oh, Jim, that doesn't happen. Yeah, it happens. Oh, it happens more often than you think. How about, oh, you know what? He bullied me. So I'm not going to tell him or remind him about using fall protection or eye protection. I think that happens all the time. That's shocking, isn't it? Right? People feel that I'm a shock jock here, that this program and some of the other ones on Safety FM are shock programs. We've been accused of that back in last October. But they're not shocked by this behavior. Me and Jay Allen are like the only people who point out this behavior. I don't know if you know this. Here, I don't know if you realize, we're like the only ones on that point this out. Here. I'm not saying anything against any of the other hosts on our network. I love them all, right? Love them all. They're all great people. Worked with some, met some of them in person. Great people. But I set up this program to be more in your face with this stuff. Because we all know that there are safety professionals. We all know that there are companies out there that'll go rah, 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 safety, OSHA, blah, 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 blah. But then how do they set up their business model? Or anything else? What are some of the leading indicators? Want to talk about leading indicators? Let's talk about it. Does this qualify as a rant? We're on here for 15 minutes, 13 seconds here. Does this qualify as a rant? Maybe, maybe not. So some of the leading indicators. One, what's their budget? Are they giving you a budget? If you don't have a budget for safety, you've got an issue. Number two, do they tell you to just, hey, you know what? Maybe for the next 5 minutes you would stay in the trailer. We got some nice coffee and donuts in there. You know, that's good. Go and hang out. Or, hey, Jimmy, why don't you take a lunch? Take a lunch. Go 45 minutes for lunch, not to half an hour. Be fine. No problem. Oh, yeah, that happens. Or, pardon me, another leading indicator. Are the people who they are hiring, are they qualified? So let's say you're the competent person. Do you have the authority to experience, knowledge, the know-how to assess a hazard? And do you have the authority to stop the job? To correct that hazard? If the answer is no on either one, that's a leading indicator. If someone else is a competent person, and that's the case, That's a leading indicator. What kind of equipment are they using? Big thing is, are gloves. Do they supply gloves? And are they appropriate gloves? If you're faced with a cut hazard, do you have cut-resistant gloves? An impact hazard, do you have impact-resistant gloves? Chemical hazard, are those the proper gloves for the chemical that you're using? Respirators. Are they supplying the correct respirators? Right? I mentioned a lot of PPE and some of the authority. How about some of the other equipment? Fall protection equipment. Is it the right equipment? How old is it? Any of this stuff, and there are many, many more leading indicators. And those are the things you have to look for, especially when you are interviewing, maybe, or you're working with the company. What are some of the other things I look for? Paperwork. Are they doing their checklists? If they're not doing their checklists, you got a problem. Why? What's one of the first things that an investigator is going to ask about? What's up? Do you have your checklist? What I do, and I really pissed somebody off today. A client called me in to do some auditing and some other stuff. Guy comes in with a 30-hour outreach card. What's the first thing I do on the 30-hour outreach card? I take the card, read the QR code, and I verify whether that's a legitimate card or not. I verify whether that trainer is on the prohibited list that's on that, or on the probation list, or in trouble, or anything else. All of that stuff goes into that. Know what I'm told? Jimmy, you're the first one to ever do that. I said, well, it is. I check every one of these cards out. What about if I have somebody who obviously doesn't know what they're doing, but they have the training, they have the card, they have the training card, they have this, and they have that. How about you call up the training provider and see if that's a real person, and then they didn't just go on PowerPoint and make up their own certificate. Seen plenty of that too. All that are leading indicators. Some of the other questions out there. I know I'm missing one. So Worker Memorial Day, we're going to talk about it. In a minute, we're going to go to our first commercial break here. Now, our flagship program here on Safety FM is the Rated R Safety Show with Jay Allen. It runs Eastern Time, 7 a.m. to 8 a.m., right, on most days. Some of the days, no, we don't make it that way, but most days, that's where we run it on, right, 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. I want everybody, right, to go out there, and there's multiple ways that you can get to the Rated R Safety Show. One of them is through going to Facebook, and you could go and enter into the search bubble, Rated R Safety Show. All right, and Rated R Safety Show comes up there. The show runs about an hour. A lot of programs there. I think they're up to like 900 programs, something like that, with Jay Allen. The other thing is you could go to Live 365 and go to Radio Big. You go to Radio Big, and they do the Rated R Safety Show. You could go also to LinkedIn, all right? And what we do is, hold on. You could connect with on the professional thing with Jay Allen, right, on his professional page on LinkedIn. And you head on over there. And again, a great one-hour show, right, with this, make a connection with Jay Allen from Safety FM Network. And that's how you do, you know, great program. Now, they talk a little bit about the news. It didn't work out so well with us doing the nightly news because it put me under a lot of pressure to get everything done. And, you know, here it's kind of, you know, I release these programs at all different times, sometimes in the middle of the night, that sort of thing. And the news is old there. And I find it I'm a little bit easier for me to go through every one of these shows, every one of these reports. With what I normally do. But anyway, that's a great way of doing this. So let's talk about the Worker Memorial Day. Yesterday, we marked our Worker Memorial Day. Now you're going to say, okay, Jim, Worker Memorial Day, I get it. April 28th, every year, we remember the 5,000 plus or minus workers from the year before that died. Now, this is what I want you to realize. Here, I'm going to share the screen here. And this often comes up with these OSHA press releases that we love to go through here. Why do we love to go through them? It's, and I'm just going to take myself out of here for a moment. Now, Jim, what are you saying? Not what Jimmy says. No, not so fast. Not what we say. OSHA says 50,000 deaths annually related to chemical exposures. This doesn't include the undercounts that me and Sheldon Primus went into the last time I was on a show. We know that the 5,000 that they come out with, or whatever number they come out with every year, is an undercount for a whole host of reasons. There's a number of that. They base that on OSHA 300 logs, for the most part, that get thrown in there. Now, here we have 50,000 deaths annually related to chemical exposures. Now, my question is this. How many people died in the Vietnam War? How many, we'll just say American deaths. When you add civilians, it's a lot more. How many American deaths, Vietnam War? 58,220. Right? Incredible, right? Over how many year period? From June 8th, 1956, and they're still collecting some casualty records as of the date of death of May 28th, 2000. So I don't know how they got this, but 288,000 people. So what I'm saying is that 55,000, the AFL-CIO puts the number much, much higher at a, right, than this 50,000. 50,000 from chemical, puts it much higher than that because they include some other numbers and everything else. But we basically have a Vietnam War every year. And people get shocked, the number of deaths in Vietnam, people get shocked. Safety wars. He talks about all the shocking stuff on safety. He's out there shocking people. And sometimes I call myself the shock jock, right? Safety shock jock. But they're not shocked about the 58,220 deaths a year, right? How do they come up with this number? They come right now. Now, let's look up another number here. We're on our friend Mr. Google. Number of American deaths, World War II. Okay, United States, military deaths, 416,800, roughly. Okay, great. And this is from a World National World War II Museum. So you take that number, 416, all right, divided by 55, and we come up with, and 8 years, basically, rough number, 8 years, you come up with the number of people that died, right? Not less, like 7 years, right? You come up with a number in 7 years of these, let's see, a number of people, military deaths from World War II in the United, from the United States. A lot of people, right? What I get shocked about, American number of deaths, U.S. Civil War. Right? How many? Boom. Here we got American Civil War. This is Wikipedia. In a 4-year period, you have casualties. Mm-hmm. 365,000 on the Union side and 290,000 on the Confederate side. So you're dealing with almost 700,000 people. That's why it was one of the most shocking wars there. So now you're dealing with, right, in an 11-year period, 12-year period here, going on 13 years, you're dealing with in 13 years, you have the number of people dead from in the American Civil War. Now, you're saying, well, Jim, you're looking at it the wrong way. You got to consider per capita and this and that and blah, blah, blah. Okay, we could do that. Right? But I'm the problem. So how did they get to that number here? 50,000. I'm going to click on this here. And we have a toolkit for employers. American workers use tens of thousands of chemicals every day. While many of these chemicals are suspected of being harmful, only a small number are regulated in the workplace. As a result, workers suffer more than 190,000 illnesses and 50,000 deaths annually related to chemical exposure. Workplace chemicals have been linked to cancers and other lung, kidney, skin, heart, stomach, brain, nerve, and reproductive diseases. And what are they doing is basically the hierarchy of controls is what they recommend, which is eliminate these chemicals and have safer alternatives. And they say, well, this website is advisory in nature and informational and content is not a standard regulation, and it neither creates our new obligations or alters existing obligations. And where is this? And the number is derived using methodology from Green Chemistry in California, a framework for leadership in chemicals policy and innovation, and is over here, over at the NIH, National Institutes of Health.gov. Again, another government website, non-copyrighted. And we have an abstract. Okay, this article summarizes a University of California chemical policy report commissioned by the California legislature. The report makes the case that longstanding weaknesses in the Toxic Substances Control Act have produced a flawed chemicals market in the U.S. that undervalues the hazardous properties of chemicals relative to their function, price, and performance. These market conditions have dampened industry interest in cleaner chemical technologies such as green chemistry. And a new U.S. chemicals policy will need to improve the flow of chemical information, enhance the capacity of government to control hazardous chemicals, and increase public investments. Right? And there are a whole bunch of other articles in here. And this is, been cited many times here. So this is what I want you to come away with. We talked about it a couple minutes ago on the whole leading indicator thing. This is what I want you to come away with. When they say we don't have to do air monitoring and we are not going to do air monitoring, we're not going to worry about chemical exposures or anything else, you're contributing to that problem. This is the bottom line. You are contributing to that problem. I'm being harsh here. I understand that. Have I contributed to this problem? Yeah, I have. I'm a human being. But this is what we need to do. I want to challenge people to go out. If you don't know what industrial hygiene is, go out and find out industrial hygiene. Learn about chemical exposures. It's great that we're talking about falls. We're going to be talking about falls in a minute here and next week. Great that we're talking about preventing injuries and meeting injuries. But how many of us have watched a loved one die of cancer? I have family members a family member who's involved in a cancer charity, the horrific stories on their website with sick people dealing with cancers and other, it doesn't have to be cancer, other illnesses too. Not a very pretty thing. So this is why we're supposed to have HAZCOM training, which is a very common OSHA-cited standard that people don't do, is HAZCOM training. All right, industrial hygiene audits. There's an employer I used to work for out of business now, a warehouse, right? They change hands and things of that nature. I had, when I first got into the safety field, my boss, the late, great Jeffrey Olcott, said, hey, Jimmy, why don't you give them a call? See if they want to do like an industrial hygiene audit. We could do some noise monitoring. We could do this. We could do that. And they said, oh, no, Jimmy, you're nuts. We're not going to do that. Blah, 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 blah. There's no need for it. When that company eventually shut down, because of that, they did not go and have all of this stuff lying, in there. What did they end up having to do? They ended up having to pay off their employees, right, with a huge settlement and divide the assets for chemical exposure and for noise exposure. It was a whole hell of a lot more than the couple grand we were going to charge. Again, it's 30 years ago, right? So are we dealing with good corporate governance here with this? Versus a very well-known law firm in New Jersey, where a good chunk of their work at the time, I don't know about now, but at the time, about 20 years ago, a good chunk of their work was environmental law, with Superfund cases and everything, and things of that nature. And what they did was every 2 years, they did a complete industrial hygiene audit of their office building. They did indoor air quality, the standard stuff that we're all used to in the industry. Plus, they did some other stuff. And anybody who had any type of illnesses that they were willing to share, or deaths in the building that they were willing to share, the employers and employees and everything, they had an evaluation done by an environmental toxicologist. A very well-known one, extremely well-known one, that everyone in this country who grew up in the 70s heard of, right? Anyway, I'm not at liberty to, right? And what did we end up when it was my turn to do their audit? We ended up that there were five people that came down with cancers in the building. And there was a discussion that was this a quote-unquote cancer cluster. Turns out it had five people with three different types of cancer. One of them was prostate cancer. Two were lung cancer, and they were smokers. And two were breast cancer, and they were high-risk breast cancer. Risk individuals for breast cancer. We went with the thing, we sampled, we did this, we had the Summa canisters going, we had everything going on, and guess what? Now, when they went to sue, and when they went to make, now we did a catacombs, we had all this data going back for 20 years in that office. We had indoor air quality assessments, we had this, we had that, guess what? Didn't go anywhere. But more importantly, everybody in that building said, you know what? Our employer cared about us. The building owner cared about us enough to have an indoor air quality assessment done. Saved tons of money. Tons. Here. Tons of aggravation. But again, that's what it was done on there. So what's my point here? Yes, I feel horrible for the 5,000 people that died and their families. It's not good. Well, let's remember there's 50,000 more or 120,000 if you listen to the AFL-CIO more. And with OSHA, here it is. Boom, boom, boom. What's the number? Here. 190,000 illnesses, 50,000 deaths. We can work on that number. We can work on that number. And by the way, if you're an OSHA outreach trainer, I dare you to use that statistic because I'm going to use it. Oh, yeah, I will use it. Now, working, now, next, let's take a little break here. And it is Monday, and we rarely broadcast on Monday, but we did it today. Let's go to our Monday message here. Human error is normal. All right. Okay. All right. So that's on there. Now, next week, we have, and I would, let me share this screen. So here we have the National Safety Standout Prevent Falls in Construction. And it did not do it. Okay, share screen. Let's see. It usually does it the second time. We're working on the new software. Believe me. So that's next week. Now, if you are in the Metro New York area, right, I am going out to a couple of clients next week, and we're going to be doing their safety stand down. I am available. Right, so give me a call, 845-269-5772, or Jim at safetywords.com. You better call me on short notice on this, or text me. I will come to your facility, and I will do your stand down for you. Right, it's usually about 1 hour, and we go through, it could be more because people have questions and everything else. And we'll go through and we'll talk about fall protection. And especially if you have not had an ANSI class, there's a lot of stuff going on out there that in the ANSI fall protection standards class with that, and that people that are not normally covered with that. So what do we talk about? All right, what is the safety stand-down? We take an hour out and we talk about fall protection. Sometimes they buy donuts and coffee or another snack. They may have a little extended lunch or extended break in the morning. Right? The other thing is you could go. We can put together a little video for you on your equipment, and I talk about your equipment and what's relevant to you on the fall protection. You also go and get a certificate of participation with OSHA. It's really nice. You put it up on the wall here, and we talk all this stuff. So give us a call with that. All right, what else we got here? What do I want to talk about? There's a lot of stuff going on in the world here. A lot of stuff, a lot of turmoil. So when I left politics officially 10 years ago, more than that, 14 years ago, February 2010, my farewell message was, sooner or later, people are going to figure out that they're being lied to. Hold on. Basically, that's what it was. People are going to, and when we find out, who, and a lot of these people find out, here I have it right here. All right. Here.
Yeah, basically, that's what it was. People are going to have what we find out.
Here you go.
And when we find out, when a lot of these people find out, they're going to have
it right here. Okay, here we go. So, 5,000, where did that come from? Sooner or later, people will find out. All right. Sooner or later, people will find out and realize that they are being lied to and screwed. All right. People will find out, and then we're going to have problems. What's happened in the last 14 years? We're seeing the effects of that right now with people are now realizing that they a lot of times have been lied to. That they're not being told the whole truth. That they had Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. And it could go on either side applied to them. It could go left wing or right wing. There's an argument to be made either way here. Who's better or who's worse? There's some debate on that. So what ends up happening is people are upset. That's why we're having issues with Columbia. And I'm going to mention Columbia University, but it's universities throughout. We have all these protests. We have people not trusting the government at all. The Census Bureau has a problem with people not filling out these, not the main census where they have problems with every 10 years, but the surveys that they send out. I just filled one out yesterday because people don't trust the government. You have a proliferation of guns in this country. Why? A lot of people don't trust the government. And it goes left wing or right wing. The left wing feels that they got to protect themselves from the right wing. I've heard that plenty of times. And the right wing has protect themselves from that. Regardless of what the argument is, where you stand on that. And this is what this is basically what it comes down to here. I know I'm rambling a little bit, but babbling. Yeah, well, guess what? Sometimes I do that. And we're all over the place on a Monday night. But again, people have been lied to. People have been not told the whole truth. I hope next week we get to the bottom of this, next month with June 6th when Cuomo in front of Congress. And maybe we can learn from the COVID-19 committee that's set up to investigate the origins and the management of it. What was everyone thinking? Maybe we can get some truth here. Maybe we can find out, hey, Governor Cuomo was doing the best he could, and all these other people, Fauci. And that's what my hope is. And we all have to realize that we have to come together, right? Our kumbaya movement here, come together and work together and realize we have a country to manage. We have a society where we have to get along with each other peacefully, regardless of what your background is. And that's what I'm going to try to do here with this. Like what Muhammad Ali said, I know there is a heaven, but he said, if there's a heaven, I want to be the one to go up to God and say, I tried to make peace. I'm trying to be a peacemaker. And how do you do that? Peace through strength. But anyway, that's for another day. That's all I got tonight for Safety Wars. Let's see how many more minutes I have here. Right, safetyfm.com is the, we go by that time. We have, finished right on time here. So let's do the outro. And we're going to do the outro video, and I will see everybody here, God willing, tomorrow. Ooh, sorry about that.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.